desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word. I have written on the board a publican, a jailer, and a Pentecost Jew. I'd like to begin in the 19th chapter of Luke with our reading. I'd like to start with a publican. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a publican. He worked for the Roman government, which meant that while he was most likely a Jew, he was working for the oppressing power. So publicans were not well liked. Tax collectors maybe not normally the highest on people's list of favorite jobs that you look at because they take your money. Well, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was seen to a large extent as a traitor to the Jewish people because he was working for the Romans. And he was chief among the publicans. So he was a man of elevated position. And although he was maybe seen as a traitor to an extent, in his sphere and in his circle, he had a reputation, he had some authority, and he had some power, and he was a rich man. It said in verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Zacchaeus was not a tall man, and if you will recall, many times when Jesus was walking somewhere, there was a multitude that followed him. And if you're short, you know how it is when you get in a big group. If you're outside, you're looking for a rock to stand on or trying to find kind of the high point so you can be elevated above everyone else. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He had a desire to see the Lord. This morning, I wonder if we have a desire to see the Lord. And I'll just ask you directly, and I can answer for myself, but do you have a desire to see the Lord this morning? Do you want to see Jesus? Because the reality is that the enemy is doing all that he can to obscure our vision of Jesus Christ. He's bringing difficulties, he's bringing trials, he's bringing people problems, he's bringing health problems and money problems. He will do everything he can to try to hinder us from seeing Jesus. But Zacchaeus had a desire to see Jesus, and he was a rich man, and he was not afraid or embarrassed to run to get ahead of the crowd. Have you ever been in a crowd and you were a little bit, you just wanted to kind of blend in? Anybody else besides me just ever wanted to blend in, just to kind of blend in obscurity? Do you know that if you want to see Jesus this morning, you're not going to be able to blend into the crowd? If you want to really see Jesus this morning, it's going to take us running to get ahead of the crowd. And so Zacchaeus, have you seen, or what would you think if you saw a rich man with position and authority climbing a tree? Because normally we think that's kind of a childish thing, isn't it? How many grown men here, how long has it been since you climbed a tree? Now maybe some of you have. That, if you're cutting it down, all right. But, you know, just, oh, I want to go out and climb a tree. And I think there's something probably in all of us as men, still sometimes you look at a tree and you think, okay, if I were to climb it, I'd do it this way. But normally we think it's childish a little bit. But Zacchaeus was not afraid to do what he needed to do to see Jesus. And I want to encourage each and every one of us here this morning, if you are not saved and you have not allowed the Lord to be king in your life, do not be afraid of being a spectacle to the world. Don't be ashamed, young people. Don't be afraid to let the Lord come in your life because you're going to be different than the world. Zacchaeus had a desire that surpassed his dignity. He had a desire to see Jesus. And I can just see him. He ran. He climbed up in the tree. And it said when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You know, those are beautiful words this morning. And every time someone wants to see Jesus, Jesus will find you where you're at. If you have just a desire, just a little desire this morning to see the Lord, if you will be willing to climb a tree, if you will be not be afraid to do whatever it takes to see the Lord, Jesus walked by, and when he came to where Zacchaeus was, he stopped and he looked up. Do you know the Lord knows where you are this morning? If you are saved, the Lord knows exactly where you are in your relationship with him. And if you do not know the Lord, and I'm not going to make any assumptions this morning, and really it's between you and God, but I don't want to presume on anybody's relationship this morning, but I will say this in the Spirit this morning, that if you do not know the Lord, but you have a desire to be saved, the Lord knows exactly where you are at. And if you will be willing to do your part and say, Lord, I want to see you, the Lord will stop this day and he will call out your name and he will say, I want to come home with you today. None of us have to leave this congregation this morning without the presence of God in our life. And if there is sin in your life and you have done wrong, I want you to know the Lord knows your name. He stopped and he said, Zacchaeus. How did he know his name? Have you heard the Lord call your name? You know, I remember the Lord called my name before I was saved. I was just a really little boy, but the Lord knew exactly where I was. And I still remember when he called my name. And that wasn't the last time he called my name. There have been so many times in life, even after I've been saved, that the Lord called my name. It's Michael, get down from where you're at. I want to go home with you. I want the Lord to come to my house. And you know, folks, we do not need to be afraid of the Lord coming home with us if we have a desire. That's what it's going to take on our part, a desire to see the Lord. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And it said he made haste and came down and received him how? Joyfully. Do you know the enemy is trying to obscure the reality of our reception of Jesus Christ? The enemy is trying to cause people to think that if you accept Christ in your life, that you can't do this and you can't do that, and life's going to be more difficult. That is a lie from the devil. There is a cost to serving the Lord. There is a consecration. There are sacrifices that we make. But folks, the presence of God and His friendship and His comfort and His saving grace will far outweigh anything that we have to give up. Zacchaeus said he received him joyfully. Young people, when the devil makes you think that you can't have any fun and you cannot live life to your potential if you serve the Lord, that is a lie. That is not true. You will not have any more fulfillment in life and be who you were made to be unless and except you accept the Lord in your life. And if you allow the Lord to be king in your home and in your heart, you will find satisfaction in life and you will really be who you are born to be. But the devil's telling us something so different than that this morning. Zacchaeus received him joyfully, and I would this morning that I see more people receiving the Lord joyfully. Even those that are saved this morning, You know the enemy is still trying to paint a dark picture in serving the Lord. He's still trying to paint a dark picture, but we've got the best that life has to offer this morning. If you are not saved, if you have not repented of your sin, if you've been doing things that are sinful and you hear the Lord calling out for you today, I want to encourage you, today is the day to open up your heart and say, Lord, I will receive you. And you can do it with joy. We don't have to receive the Lord in mourning. It's like, well, I guess I'll accept the Lord. No, the Lord has something good for us today. He has something He wants to, we can trade in our mourning and our ashes for beauty and joy. He'll give us something good. He'll take the brokenness and He'll bring healing. And yes, there will still be hard things in life, but now you've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother that will help you and encourage you and strengthen you, to speak nothing of the wonderful inheritance we have ahead of us. So Zacchaeus received the Lord joyfully. And when they saw it, said they saw it and they murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. That's the world speaking. And Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, behold, Lord. Oh, can we acknowledge Jesus as Lord this morning? Lord of our life, King of kings, he said, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus was not twisting Zacchaeus' arm to make restitution. But this was part of the joy that Zacchaeus recognized, that I want the Lord and I am willing to do whatever it takes to have the presence of God in my life personally. I don't have to just listen to others testify. I don't have to just listen to others talk about a personal experience. But Lord, I want that in my life. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And he was happy to do it. Lord, what do you want me to do? Oh, if I've taken something that wasn't mine, Lord, I'll pay it back four times. But I'm just glad you're home with me. Do you know this is the spirit that the Lord wants us to have in salvation? This is what it's going to take for people to really get saved. It's more than saying, I make a decision for Christ. It's more than shaking a preacher's hand or coming to church. Folks, the Lord wants you to be saved this morning if you're not saved. He wants to go home with you today. But what we need to do is recognize that this is something wonderful. I don't have to carry my burden of sin anymore. I don't have to go through life struggling like this anymore. The Lord wants to go home with us this morning. And so Zacchaeus was willing to make restitution. And Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house. I've seen that you had a desire to see me. Salvation has come to this house. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. This morning, if you are lost, if you are not saved, the Lord wants to save this morning. This is the reason Jesus came, and it doesn't matter that maybe you've come to church for a long time. It really doesn't matter that you have been maybe a child or young person, you've been raised in a Christian home, you're still lost. None of us are born saved. Just because we come to service and have some head knowledge, it doesn't save us. But Jesus said, salvation. Today, salvation has come to this house. Jesus came and he's looking for the lost. And this morning, I don't know where everybody stands with God. I do believe the Lord sent the message for a reason. I want you to know that Jesus knows where you're at. And he's looking for you. And there would be no better day to come and say, Lord, I want you to come in my life. And maybe you've been making some changes, and maybe there's been things that you've been doing some praying. But if you have not just opened up your heart with joy and said, Lord, I want you to come in and be my God and my Lord. He wants to go home with you today. Over in the 16th chapter of Acts, I'd like to speak about a jailer for a few minutes. Acts chapter 16 and verse 29. You recall that Paul and Silas had been beaten. They had been thrown in prison and been thrown in jail. And that's when they began to sing and praise God. And it said in verse 26 that suddenly there was a great earthquake. And the foundation of the prison was shaken, the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, the jailer, he woke out of sleep and saw the prison doors open, and he drew out his sword, and he would have killed himself, thinking that all the prisoners had fled. And Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. This morning, there are sometimes situations that look pretty bleak in life. And there are things that just look dark. You know, I don't know what the suicide rate is in this country right now, but it's high. And it seems like even right amongst the saints, more and more here people are saying, I'm struggling with depression. The enemy is working really hard to bring darkness to people's lives. But Paul's message was, do thyself no harm. Don't harm yourself. He called for a light. Oh, do you know Jesus is that light for us this morning? In times of darkness and despair, there is still a light that can come into your heart. He called for light and sprang in and came in trembling. This is the jailer now. And he fell down before Paul and Silas because, see, he'd heard them singing. He had heard their prayers and he asked a question. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I've seen something that I want. I've seen something that I don't have. Can you tell me what I need to do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that are in the house. They began to share a message of salvation. They began to share with him what it meant to be saved. They began to share with him the story of a Savior that came to this earth as a child, as a baby, and grew up and died on the cross and rose again, that through his shed blood that we might have a resurrection in our life. He began to tell them a message about how that in Jesus Christ there's no condemnation. You don't have to bear the brunt or the guilt anymore of wrongdoing. But there is a place that you can be delivered and set free. The addictions of life, they are real. And being a saint's child does not exempt you from the addictions of the world. We need a deliverer. We need a savior. That when we are bound up and we think, oh, I'll never do those things. If you're not saved, there's no telling what you're going to get bound up in. But I still know there is a savior this morning that when we come and say, Lord, what do I need to do to be saved? Believe in the Lord. Believe that He can forgive you. Believe that you are lovable. Believe that you are worth saving. Believe that God cares about you. Believe that there is hope where you have tried to break the power of sin in your life. Believe that there is a God that can come in and do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Well, I want to be saved. He was trembling. And the message was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And it said, he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes. That jailer went, and maybe he was one of the ones that laid them on it, but he helped clean them up. And it said, he was baptized, he and all of his, straightway. He was baptized. You know, baptism is one of the first acts of obedience when we get saved. But to me, what it's a testimony of is it's more than just saying, I'm going to try to make a change and see how it goes. He said, I am ready for a complete transformation in my life. This morning, if you have not been transformed by the power of God, all you have to do is believe that the Lord can do that work and come and say, Lord, here I am. I am ready this morning. I'm going to quit struggling. I'm going to quit trying to figure it all out. But as the jailer and as Zacchaeus, I'm just going to, Lord, I'm going to open my heart up, whatever you want me to do, Lord. And he was baptized. And listen to this. It said he took them, or in verse 34, it said, and when he had brought them into his house, he sat at meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. You see the consequence and result of salvation? It wasn't drudgery. Zacchaeus was joyful to receive the Lord. Now we find the jailer, when he found the Lord, he was happy. You know, the Lord wants you to be happy this morning. He wants you to be joyful. Oh, turn with me to Acts in the second chapter. We're going to look at a Pentecost Jew for just a few moments. And really, that's plural. It's Pentecost Jews. But in the second chapter of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, Peter began preaching and different of the apostles were preaching and sharing the message of Jesus Christ. And Peter said in verse 36, let all the house of Israel know. Now we've gone from a publican to a jailer working for the Roman government. Now we're talking about some Jews. Those that were the seed of Abraham. Saints' children. He said, know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Jesus. This was a different Peter, wasn't it? This wasn't the Peter anymore denying the Lord. This is a Peter that looked them in the face and said, you are the ones that crucified him. Do you know Jesus was crucified for your sin and my sin this morning? We sing that song, it is well with my soul. And the reason was because my sin was nailed to the cross, not in part, but the whole. This morning, I think that sometimes saints' children have gone a certain distance with the Lord, and there have been some things they've drawn a line at and said, okay, I'm not going to go there. But you know, the Lord wants to take all of your sin this morning. You don't need to be afraid of just saying, Lord, I've got some things in my life that I'm ready. I'm ready, Lord, just to give it to you. And they looked, they listened to that message that Peter preached, and it said when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What do I do? I don't know what to do. Peter said unto them, repent. Just turn away from your sin. And be baptized, an act of obedience. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Do you know that includes all of us this morning? Do you know that the Lord wants all of us to be saved here today? And if you are not saved, not talking about your head knowledge, not talking about what your past experience was, but this morning, if you are not saved from your sin, the Lord Jesus wants you to be saved. He will forgive you. He will renew you. He will restore you. And he did, with many other words, he did testify and exhort them. And he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Folks, this morning we need to save ourselves. See, how can we save ourselves? We can save ourselves by coming to the Lord Jesus and having him forgive us and transform our life. But we live in a deceptive, dark, crooked generation. And he said, you're going to save yourself. In other words, climb a tree to see the Lord. Run before the press. Do whatever you need to do, but have that spirit of, Lord, what do I need to do? Too many times in our religious world today, people are coming to Christ with qualifications. I will go this far and I will do this, but I'm preserving and holding some things that I'm going to do it my way. This morning, salvation doesn't work that way. And then people have these up and down experiences, and they never really find that real fulfillment in their salvation because they are restricting God. But true salvation comes when we can say, Lord, whatever you want me to do. I'm willing this morning. Is there anybody here this morning? Is there anybody here that has been putting restrictions on God? And this morning you're willing to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? No more restrictions. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. And then listen to what they did. It said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread. They didn't just walk away and go back to their old way of living, but they listened to the teaching and to the doctrine, and they accepted it. And do you know they didn't do it with mourning? They didn't do it with suspicion. It said it was with joy and with happiness and with gladness. A publican, a jailer, and a Pentecost Jew. Do you know what they had in common? They had a common desire to see Jesus. They had a common desire to be saved. They came from different walks of life. They accepted the truth. They didn't put parameters on the Lord, but they were all willing to do whatever it took to be saved. They repented. They made restitution. They were obedient. And we find that all of them, the publican, Zacchaeus, the jailer, and the Pentecost Jews, we find that they did it with joy and with happiness. This morning, if you have allowed the enemy to paint an oppressive picture of salvation, I would this morning that our eyes be opened up by the publican, the jailer, and the Jew, to know that if you will open your heart's door gladly, because see, God's not going to force His way in your life. If you're not saved this morning, the Lord's not going to force you to be saved. But I know of no better day to be saved than today. And if the Lord is talking to your heart this morning, it's not about what someone thinks if I go pray. It's not about, well, that maybe you're saved, but maybe you see that you have been starting to place some parameters on the Lord. So if you feel a desire to pray this morning, the rest of us children, just because someone prays doesn't mean they're getting saved, but maybe they are. But for anyone here that is not saved this morning and has not gladly received the Lord as King of their life, I want to give you a special invitation this morning to come and pray and know that the Lord will meet you. He will make a change in your life, and you can go home rejoicing, thankful that the Lord did something in my life.